Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We're actually going to start the Masechta today at the very top, Daf Bet Amun Aleph 2a, right at the top, at the beginning of the Mishnah. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Okay, as we have discussed, the rabbis only permitted certain necessary kinds of work or labor to be done on the intermediate days of the festival called Chol HaMoed. Since the primary reason to permit work was to prevent loss, they didn't want people to sustain loss over the holiday, the Mishnah introduces a certain kind of a field called a Beit HaShlachin, which requires irrigation. Rashi says that it's a field that's on top of a hill, so the rainwater runs off of it, and it needs to be irrigated. The Gemara will contrast this with a field called a Beit HaBaal, which is a field that can suffice with rain or spring water and does not require irrigation. Even if it would be more fertile with irrigation, it doesn't require it. If a field requiring irrigation is not irrigated over the festival, a loss will result. Therefore, a certain amount of work and even a certain amount of tircha, such as directing a canal or a spring onto the field, can be done in order to irrigate. However, there is a limit to it, and extremely labor-intensive activities, such as watering the field from a well, which requires you to lower a pail and fill the pail and raise it up, or creating an irrigation ditch from a pool of rainwater, are still prohibited. Later in the Gemara, we'll introduce another binary in the fields. We'll talk about a stei ha'ilan, which is an orchard, and a stei ha'lavan, which is a grain field, which also have different rules about what can be done in them based on the effort involved and the potential loss incurred. The Rishonim disagree about whether or not the Beit HaShlachin is limited to an orchard or a grain field or not, or if it's, you know, or if they are the same. Some of the Rishonim seem to indicate that a Beit HaShlachin is identical with a stei ha'ilan, and that a Beit HaBaal is identical with a stei ha'lavan, but the Gemara does use different words to describe them. There's also something called a tarbitza, which is a vegetable garden, and there's also the concept of a pleasure garden, which are not harvested for the sake of business. So those may have slightly different rules related to them as well. The other topics of our Mishnah will be permitted actions taken by the authorities and labor done by their employees for the sake of the public good, such as fixing the roads and the cisterns. And our Mishnah will also introduce two kinds of springs, spring water that you use for irrigation. One is a mayan, a spring that is well established, and the second is a mayan that is new, that is not well established. The new mayan has a risk that the walls of the spring will collapse because it's new, and therefore it might require some effort. It potentially will cause some effort to then fix the walls of the mayan and create the channel. On the other hand, the older mayan is well established, and we're not as concerned that it might collapse. However, our Mishnah will permit both, and that is the discussion that we'll have right now. So we begin with the Mishnah. Mashkin Beit HaShlachin Bamoed Ubashivit. Mashkin means you may irrigate. A Beit HaShlachin, as we said, is a field that requires irrigation. Bamoed, even though it says on the festival, it means particularly on Chol HaMoed, on the intermediate days. And Ubashvit is referring to the seventh year, the Shemitah year. There are some overlaps in what you're allowed to do relating to agriculture on the Chol HaMoed and what you're allowed to do in agriculture in the seventh year when you're not allowed to improve the land for your own profit. So that's the overlap, is that both on the festival and on the sabbatical year, you're not supposed to be profiting from your work on the land. Okay, so you may, this is a permissive sentence, you may irrigate a field that requires irrigation on Chol HaMoed, bein mimayan sheyatza b'tchila, whether it is a spring that just went out, it just recently formed, so it's a new spring, bein mimayan shelo yatza b'tchila, whether it is, or if it is a spring that has not just recently gone out, it's well established. So those are both allowed. Now, these springs, whether they're new or old, can be used to irrigate a field that is a Beit HaShlachin, that is allowed, that needs irrigation. But the Mishnah implies, though it doesn't say, that in a Beit HaBaal, a field that doesn't require irrigation, you may not. What we'll discuss in the Gemara is whether or not that applies to both a new spring and an old spring, or only one of them. But even though you're allowed to irrigate a Beit HaShlachin, a field that requires irrigation, there are limitations. So in the third line of the Mishnah, we say, Aval, however, Ein Mashkin, you may not irrigate, Lo Mimei HaGeshamim, not from pools of rainwater, and the Gemara will explain why, V'lo Mimei HaKilon, and not from water that comes from a pail, which means a bucket that you have to lower into a well and then raise back up full of water. The Ein Osin Ugiot Ligfanim, and you may not create from scratch. Ugiot are circular ditches that surround little vines, that you would create little circular ditches around the vines and fill them with water to irrigate them. So creating a new uga, a new circle around the vine, was labor intensive. So all these things you may not do because they are labor intensive. So what we're basically saying is that in a situation where if you didn't irrigate the field, it would cause a loss, you're permitted to do work on that field in order to prevent the loss, and you're allowed to put in a certain amount of tircha, but things that are extremely labor intensive, you are not allowed to do, even though it would cause a loss. Okay. That is the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. It does not state whose opinion that is, and so the Gemara will ask in the beginning of the Gemara, who is the Tana who holds this way? But now, our next opinion does have a name associated with it. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Ein osin et ha'ama bitchila b'moed u'bashvit. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you may not make a new irrigation channel, and ama is an irrigation channel. Usually it was one ama wide and one ama deep, one cubit. And so you may not create a new irrigation channel, neither on Chol HaMoed or on the sabbatical year. V'chachamim omrim, but the sages disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and they say, osin et ha'ama bitchila, you may make a new channel, bashvit, on the sabbatical year. During a Shemitah year, you can do it. You just can't do it on Chol HaMoed. In addition, the sages say, umetaknin et ha'mukul kalot b'moed, you may fix those things that are broken during the festival. Meaning irrigation channels that are broken, you can fix them. Umetaknin et kilkulei ha'mayim, you may fix up the ruined water pipes, if there are water pipes that need fixing, or possibly if it's dirty water that needs to be cleaned. Shebeshut ha'rabim, which is in the public domain, so it's a public service to fix these things. V'chotetin otan, and you may actually deepen a cistern by digging out the soft mud at the bottom in order to make it deeper. U'metaknin et hadrachin, and you can do road work to fix the roadways. V'tarachovot, and the streets. Different opinions as to which streets these are, whether they are streets that are in front of the houses in the public square, or streets that are behind the houses, like alleyways where children would play. V'et mikvot hamayim, and the public mikvahs can be fixed during the Chol HaMoed. V'osin kol tzarchei harabim, you can do anything that is needed for the public good, you may do during Chol HaMoed. U'metzaynin et hakvarot, and you may also mark the graves. People who either were kohanim, so they themselves couldn't become tamei, or they were carrying food that could not become tamei, may have wanted to know where there were graves so they could avoid walking on them. So they would, you know, splash lime or some kind of white paint or something on the graves to let people know where they were. So they had, employees who went out and did that. So they were allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed as well. And finally, v'yotzin af al ha-kilayim, and they could send emissaries out to check for kilayim. So kilayim are species of agricultural product that are not supposed to be grafted together. The Torah prohibits certain kinds of grafting. And if they saw that certain kinds of plants were planted in a way that they were becoming grafted or growing together, they would go out and uproot them. So they had a certain group of employees of the state that would go out and do that. And we spoke about it when we did a Megillah a little bit, that they made an announcement on the first of Adar that people should be careful about kilayim, and they were supposed to be careful in their plantings not to plant kilayim. And this is now already 6 weeks later. So either they're sending out the inspectors because those people who are in violation of the law, you know, they announced it for all the, you know, law-abiding people, but those people who have not been following the law, they now go out and uproot their plants that are in violation of the Kilayim law, or else because it's only now that the plants are starting to grow. So you could do the best that you could to try to avoid planting kilayim, but now that the plants are starting to grow, you can see which ones may need to be in the second round uprooted. Okay, that concludes the Mishnah. We'll continue on in the Gemara now, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines down from the top. Gemara. Hashta, now, yesh lomar, there is to say, mimayan sheyatza bitchila, from a spring that is newly created. It just went out. Da'ati le'inpule, because it may come to fall down. That is, the sides of the channel may collapse and block the water, and then you'd have to go dredge them out. So there is some risk with a new mayan that you might have to do extra work in order to clear it. So that's why we're saying that you can do it, because even though there's a risk that it might cause a little extra work, you can still use it. But once I've said that, mashkin mi mayan shelo yatza bitchila, then as far as irrigating from a spring that is not newly formed, it's an old spring, delo ate le'inpule, which is not going to collapse because it's already well established. If it was going to collapse, it would have done it already. Mi baya, do I really need it? In other words, if I know that I can irrigate from a channel where there's a risk of collapse, I could already assume that I can irrigate with a channel that is not at risk of collapse. That is the Gemara's question, and it's a reasonable and logical question. Itzrich. So the Gemara answers, it is required. I do need both cases. Why? Itana mayan sheyatza bitchila. If the Tana had only taught about a spring that was an old spring, so it's not at risk of collapse. Hava mina hachahu de beit hashlachin in beit habal lo. I might have thought that here we're talking about a beit hashlachin that requires irrigation, and therefore I would say that in a beit hashlachin I'm allowed to use this spring. And beit habal, in a beit habal not, but in a field that doesn't require irrigation, I'm not allowed to use it. Mishum da'ati le'inpule, because it might fall down, and therefore, you know, I'd be concerned. Aval mayan shelo yatza bitchila, but regarding a spring that is not a new spring, it's an old spring, de'lo'ati le'inpule, so there's no risk that it's going to fall down. Ema afilu beit habal nami. I might have thought that since there's no risk that it's going to fall down, I could use it not only in a beit hashlachin, which is a field that requires irrigation, but even in a beit habal. I might assume that since there's no risk that the walls are going to collapse, maybe I can use it in both kinds of field. Kamash malan, so it comes to teach us, lo shna mayan sheyatza bitchila, velo shna mayan shelo yatza bitchila. It doesn't matter if it is a newly formed spring or if it is an old spring. Beit hashlachin in, for a field that requires irrigation, you can use it. Beit habal lo, and for a field that doesn't require irrigation, you can't. Now, we'll see, when this discussion is picked up again on Daf Vav Amud Bet, on 6b, we'll see that there are a couple of other limitations. For instance, perhaps even in a beit hashlachin, it would only apply if you had been watering it before the holiday, and now you're continuing to water it on the holiday, and a number of other questions that might be dealing with this. But for now, what we know is that our opinion here is that you may do a certain amount of tircha for a field that requires irrigation, and you can use either a new spring or an old spring for that irrigation. So the two principles at play here are that in a case, b'makom pseda, if there is a fear of loss, that if you don't water this field, it's going to become damaged, you can do it. And you're allowed to put in a certain amount of tircha, but not an excessive amount of tircha. Those are the two opinions, and we'll return to those shortly. But in the meantime, we want to understand we're doing a question of terminology. Why is a field that requires irrigation called a beit hashlachin? And why is a field that doesn't require irrigation called a beit habal? Umay mashma, what does it mean, or what does it imply? Dahai beit hashlachin lishna de tzachutahi, that this beit hashlachin is a language of tzachuta, means thirst, that it's thirsty. So what we're really saying is that a beit hashlachin means a thirsty field. So the citation is Dichtiv. It's written in the Torah, Ve'ata ayef v'yageya. Here it's talking about the Jewish people right after they went out of Egypt, and they're in the desert, and they are about to be attacked by a Amalek. And the Torah is explaining that part of the reason they were susceptible to attack by a Amalek is that they were ayef v'yageya, which usually we interpret as exhausted and tired. umetargaminan, but the Aramaic translation of this pasuk says, ve'at mishalhi velayi, and you were thirsty and exhausted. So the language of ayef, rather than as usually used in Hebrew nowadays of being tired or fatigued, is used here as a language of thirsty, that you're thirsty for water. So now the other way of looking, of course, at Beit HaShlachin, and there is another Gemara that deals with this in Baba Batra on Samachet Amud Aleph, is that it has to do not with the field itself, that the field is thirsty, but with what we have to do to the field. That is, we have, Beit HaShlachin means we need to send water into the field. It is necessary for us to send water into the field. It cannot suffice with the water that it has on its own or that it gets from rainfall. So one way of looking at it is what we do to the field, and one way is to identify it as the nature of the field itself. And we'll see that that is relevant in the next question as well. Umay mashma dahai beit habal lishna dimiat vutahi. And how do you know that this Beit HaBaal is a language of settlement? Miat vuta means settling down. Dichtiv, as it is written, and this is in Yeshayahu Samech Bet Pasukei, Kiv al Bachur Betula, which sounds like you might translate it as when a young man, a bachelor, marries a virgin bride. But Umetargeminan, the translation of that verse is Are when Kama Demitutav, when he settles down, ulam, a bachelor, im betulta, with a virgin bride. And then the continuation of the verse is, yiv aluch banayich. So just as a bachelor settles down with a virgin bride, so too your children will settle down with you. Yityatvun begavech banayich. So too they will settle down, your children, with you. That is the way that it tries to read it. In other words, the word yiv al, related to ba'al, is translated as mitutav, settled. Now, some people say instead of settled, what we mean here is satisfied. In other words, when the bachelor wants to get married to a young woman, before he marries her, he is not satisfied. And then once he becomes married to a young woman, he becomes satisfied. Now, this could mean either in a domestic way or potentially also in a sexual way. Usually, the word bo'el is used as in a sexual fashion. The to have intercourse would be to be bo'el. So here, instead of describing the marriage, it could be describing the consummation of the marriage, that kiv al bachor betula is what happens on the wedding night. It's possible that this is also what it means related to the field. We could say the field is settled, it doesn't require additional intervention, or it's satisfied with the rainwater that it has. But another way to say it is that it has already been penetrated by rainwater. The water that fell has penetrated and it still has it, and so it doesn't need additional water, just in the way that young man would do so with a young woman. Maybe that's a little overly graphic, and I don't know if it's 100% true, but Rabbeinu Chananel on the page says something similar. He says that Beit HaBaal is shekvar gidel vehishrish shrashim bekarka, that what it means is that the things that are growing in the Beit HaBaal have already put down roots. So again, you can look at that in a more physical, specific, concrete way, or in a more general way, that once a young man is married to a young woman, he begins to settle down in his personality. But one way or the other, that seems to be what it means. Whatever the language is, it means that it is satisfied with the water it has and it doesn't need additional water. Okay, we're going to stop there and we will continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.